Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, I am thrilled to report today that we have good, bad, and crazy martinis. For the first time, we have good news, and we've actually got two. We're classifying one of them as an appetizer and one of them as an actual good martini, which was vitally needed. It's possible OJ could get paroled today, and if we didn't have any good martinis on top of everything else we've had to talk about this week, this would have been really tough.
Yeah. You know, I enjoy the Twin Peaks revival, but this is one step too far for the 90s revival.
So, well, let's talk about our appetizer here, because this is just really cool. This is courtesy of Ala Pundit over at Hot Air. Total malpractice by the armed forces. How do you develop a weapon as wicked awesome as this, realizing the childhood dreams of American sci-fi fans, and not include a cool, gratuitous sound effect each time the cannon fires? That's 80% of the fun of laser guns. Yes, the Navy has a laser weapon. You'll never convince me the crew operating this thing doesn't mutter the pew pew sound under their breaths when they squeeze the trigger. The weapon itself isn't new. You'll find conceptual demonstrations of it on YouTube dating back to 2013 and live fire displays from 2014. What's new is that this is no longer in development. It's developed. It's on board a Navy ship right now, ready to melt Iranian drones in the sky should any approach. Rarely, though, will you see a weapon as futuristic as this that somehow also seems primitive in light of its potential uses. CNN touches on the obvious one. As the next generation of combat lasers scales up in power and targeting systems improve in precision, taking down incoming North Korean ICBMs will be a turkey shoot. It will be a high-stakes version of Missile Command. Jim, so from the 90s to the 80s, this is just really cool.
It is. This is a rather strange request, but Greg, wouldn't we love to see an Iranian drone come along near that ship right now? Please, Iran, make our day. We really want to see this thing in action. Come on, come get us. And also, any Pentagon footage. I hope at the very least, if they don't dub in the sound effect of the Death Star or ion control from the Hoth base or something like that, please give us at least the standard laser gun sound or a Star Trek phaser or something like that. It definitely needs to have a cool sound. And you know, we really should have, a drone killing laser is a pretty cool name. We need some sort of, like, you know, the super laser or something like that, or, you know, the drone killer or something. It needs a much cooler name than it has right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get on to a slightly less exciting but still very important good martini. Let's go to CNBC for this, because this really is good news coming out of the Trump administration. Quote, the Trump administration has withdrawn or delayed 860 proposed regulations in its first 5 months, the beginnings of a regulatory overhaul meant to bolster economic growth. Federal agencies have withdrawn 469 proposed regulations compared to a fall 2016 report when Barack Obama was president, according to figures the White House Budget Office has put out. This includes 19 regulations with an economic impact of $100 million or more. Another 391 regulations have been delayed for further evaluation and consideration. As we've seen with various regulations that we've talked about on an individual basis, you've got environmentalists upset, labor unions upset, consumer watchdogs upset, which for the most part means that we're getting rid of the right ones. So, Jim, this is a great start, and it's something that in many cases doesn't require Congress to get its act together. So we can actually point to some accomplishment here.
Indeed. Obviously, there was some earlier in this year that the Trump administration and the Republican Congress were able to roll back. Basically, there's a limited amount of time that a certain regulations that are issued at the end of one presidency can be repealed by a vote in Congress. So the Congressional Review Act, the Trump administration began using that for a series of these and used it more than any previous administration. We also have this, which is, you know, being enacted by the cabinet secretaries and by his appointees. This is one of the reasons we like to see Trump appointees getting confirmed. Senate, that's your cue. Start getting these guys confirmed. But again, we talk about the repealing of regulations or less regulation in a very general sense. But it is nice to see it happening. It is nice to see a more conservative philosophy and a more limited government perspective coming to the bureaucracy. Those of you who have read The Weed Agency will recognize this is never easy. This is never simple. The bureaucracy had a lot of ways of slowing down the works and not enacting things they don't want to enact, going beyond their original jurisdiction. But again, it's good to see the administration starting to have this this kind of effect under the radar, and it deserves more attention than it's getting.
Excellent, excellent news. So we're happy to see that. Hopefully more of that to free up business owners to do what they do best, grow, expand, hire people, and just add more value to the economy, which is one of the things a lot of people expected from this administration. So at least on this front, we are seeing some results. Let's move on to the bad martini, and I'm sure this bad martini will come as no surprise to those who have been keeping up with the news over the past 12 hours or so, and that's the horrific diagnosis for Arizona Republican Senator John McCain. We knew that he was away from Washington after having surgery for a blood clot above his left eye, but now it's become far more serious. This is from Tucson.com. U.S. Senator John McCain revealed Wednesday evening that he has a brain tumor. The announcement follows a procedure to remove a blood clot from above his left eye at the Mayo Clinic Hospital in Phoenix last Friday, where a pathology report revealed the glioblastoma, a malignant brain tumor. Treatment options may include a combination of chemotherapy and radiation. A statement from McCain's doctors say he is recovering from his surgery, but it is unclear when the 80-year-old Republican would return to the Senate. The prognosis here, even though the doctors were able to remove everything they saw in the scan because it was close enough to the surface, this is a very tough road. Here's what it says. Glioblastoma can be difficult to treat because the tumors contain so many different types of cells. About 20,000 people in the U.S. each year are diagnosed with glioblastoma. The American Cancer Society puts the five-year survival rate for patients over 55 at about 4%. So that's obviously a horrific challenge that John McCain has to face. And Jim, unfortunately, we live in an era where the second part of this bad martini is not a surprise, but it's still disgusting and revolting. The reaction of people, many on the left, but some on the right, too, who obviously don't agree with John McCain a lot on politics, are actually celebrating this. Twitchy has the story of this professor, a professor named Kevin Allred, who says John McCain is pretty okay with taking away everyone's health care, so excuse me if I don't have a well of sympathy for his brain cancer. Other people are celebrating it, saying he wants to kill people all over the world because he's aggressive with his foreign policy, and so this is just desserts. Even celebrities writing in, most of them doing very well, even though a lot of celebrities are liberals, saying a lot of good things about John McCain. But then you've got John Cusack saying, wish Senator McCain a speedy recovery. Interesting to note, while he's obviously getting the best health care in the world, and his family is surely comforted by that, his party, however, is trying to deny that dignity to 23 million Americans. Even on the right, they're couching it by saying that, well, I don't agree with him a lot, but I certainly wish him well in this fight. It's amazing how politics can never be separated from moments like this.
Yeah, as if wishing, you know, boy, this is terrible news. You know, thoughts and prayers being with the senator at this time, as if that represents some sort of endorsement of everything he's ever done.
Right.
Like, you know, well, clearly, if you don't want him to die from cancer, you must be on his side. You must be a full supporter of McCain-Feingold. That no, this is just being a human being, for heaven's sake. Just as we were having this conversation, Greg, a little bit of news coming across the Twitter. Senator McCain himself tweeted, says that he thanks everyone for the outpouring of support. And you know, in true McCain style, he says, unfortunately for my sparring partners in Congress, I'll be back soon, so stand by. So certainly his spirits seem to be up. As you accurately described there, Greg, this sounds like a particularly tough kind of cancer to beat. But, you know, Senator John McCain is a particularly tough senator. So, you know, if there's Lindsey Graham put it pretty well when he said that, you know, cancer has a foe that is worthy of it in John McCain. So obviously we'll be hoping for him. Hopefully this is, apparently this is extremely tough to treat and you know, really no cure for this, but hopefully he'll get the most aggressive treatment possible, and we'll still be around to discuss John McCain for good and for ill for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, this is apparently, from what I've read, the very same type of cancer that took the life of Ted Kennedy several years back. And it's interesting, this same professor said that, well, it's interesting that I'm getting all this blowback from the right. When do we ever see sympathy from the right for it when folks on the left have something like this? And immediately the responses of, well, Jimmy Carter, Bo Biden, perhaps even Senator Kennedy. I don't really remember how active Twitter was at that point, but I'm not necessarily saying that the right has distinguished itself well on Twitter as of recent months, but I've certainly seen plenty of times when prominent Democrats suffer health challenges where there's a pretty sincere outpouring of sympathy and support there, too.
Greg, I think we need a blanket statement that no one will take away your ideology card if you wish someone well on the other side. You know, if you say, oh, it's terrible news, I hope you make a speedy recovery, you're not selling out your principles. You're not, conceding any issues. You're not helping. You're wishing someone to not die. That really is a very minimal standard. So, there's no need for those kinds of caveats and stuff like that. Hopefully, we'd really like to reach a society where you could, somebody you really can't stand. Alan Grayson, you and I don't want him to die. We want him to leave Congress. We want him to live a long, happy life in the private sector. Maybe not even a happy life, a long, tolerable life in the private sector. But that's where we are. So hopefully McCain makes deals with this as best he can, and people treat each other a little bit better heading forward. But if we thought that was likely to happen, we wouldn't call it our bad martini.
No. Last word on this goes to David Brody over at Christian Broadcasting. His tweet last night, I think, summed it up well. All the haters who are not fond of Senator John McCain and his politics need to stop, take the night off, actually just stop altogether. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And Jim, yesterday, President Trump gave an interview to multiple members of the failing New York Times. Apparently a pretty candid conversation, talked a lot about a number of things, including Bob Mueller, including Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with the Russians. Nothing he said on those fronts really changed much. The big headline out of this is what he had to say about Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We knew from previous reporting over the past few months that Trump is not happy at all that Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation and left those decisions up to Rod Rosenstein, which obviously ultimately led to the special counsel. But here is what Trump had to say about this in the audio from that interview with the New York Times.
Sessions gets the job. Right after he gets the job, he recuses himself.
Was that a mistake?
Well, Sessions should have never recused himself. And if he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me before he took the job, and I would have picked somebody else.
Mm-hmm. He gave you no heads up at all. Mm-hmm.
Zero. Mm-hmm. So Jeff Sessions takes the job, gets into the job, recuses himself. I then have, which frankly, I think is very unfair to the president.
So, Jim, obviously a little bit of a timeline here would probably help President Trump and others. He's assuming that Jeff Sessions was always going to recuse himself. The pressure obviously built up following his confirmation hearing testimony when he said that he had never had any contact with a Russian official during the Trump campaign. He meant as a official within the Trump campaign. But he, of course, had to reveal that he had a couple of encounters in his capacity as a senator, and ultimately that led to a lot more pressure, and he stepped down from the Russia probe and Rosenstein then took over. So unless Sessions, because of his role in the Trump campaign, had always planned to recuse himself, Trump's doing a little bit of revisionist history here, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't begrudge Trump having the aggravation about Sessions' decision. I begrudge him expressing it on the record to the New York Times. But apparently he's mentioned this once or twice. There was not unconfirmed report, but it appeared in a variety of media that seemed fairly reliable, that at some point there was an exchange between Trump and Sessions that was tense, if not heated. And at some point, Sessions said something along the lines of, well, Mr. President, if you don't like the decision I'm making, I can offer you my resignation. Trump said he didn't want that. So Trump doesn't want him to resign, at least not as of that exchange. What does he want him to do? Because he can't unrecuse himself. You can imagine the firestorm that would follow after that. It appears he wants him to end the Mueller investigation. That's not going to help any. If someone else were to order the firing of Mueller, that would simply cause heads to explode all around Washington and probably call for a new independent counsel. Not clear that congressional Republicans would go along with that. It's not surprising the president and the attorney general have disagreements. I'm sure that, in most cases, there have been, it's nothing new. People who remember the Clinton administration will know how much the Clinton White House was fuming at Janet Reno for letting independent counsel Ken Starr move forward. But the bigger issue here is kind of the sense of, all right, well, if you have a frustration with somebody on your team, why can't you address it behind closed doors? Why do you have to rip them on the record in the interview? It's not quite, don't take it out, you know, never criticize the family in front of other people. But there's I just don't understand what it gets from, other than another round of people wondering, is Jeff Sessions going to be in this administration for much, much longer? Now, Sessions made a statement earlier today that he plans on serving for as long as it is appropriate. The attorney general serves at the pleasure of the president. Trump could fire him at any point if he wanted to. But all this kind of does is undermine Sessions. And you already have the likes of Roger Stone saying, Sessions isn't going to last long and all that kind of stuff. And when Sessions needs stuff, nobody wants to be perceived as a lame duck or a guy who's got one foot out the door. I don't know how much Jeff Sessions is enjoying his work. I hear some folks say that he is, and he relishes the changes he's able to make in the Department of Justice. But if the president comes out and, talks about what a terrible job you're doing so often, at some point he might just get fed up with it. So I just wish the president could have an ounce of impulse control and not lash out about his attorney general, particularly to the New York Times, which, as we all know, Greg, is failing and sad. By the way, if it's failing and sad and fake news, why is the president giving them a 50-minute interview?
Fair questions. Fair questions all the way around. So, Jim, you were up in New York to do some work for CNN International. I don't know if they're going to have any fake news today. You will not be part of fake news. I'm confident to say that ahead of time. So we'll be watching, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.